The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome to our program today, Afternoons with Mike. It's a joy to be on the phone with a friend that I've known for a number of years from Gainesville, talking about Jill Nash. Welcome to my program, Jill. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be on with you. It's great to catch up.
Now, Jill's the owner of Advantage Media Promotions there in Gainesville, and she has been involved in media. That's how I met Jill back in the days when I worked with Mark Radio in the years 2013 to 15. And you were actually on my show in Gainesville back up at one point, and that was a lot of fun. You have been involved in this thing called LeaderCast, and that's really the primary thing that we're talking about today on the show. It's really taking, I guess you could say, a different direction because of COVID. And because of, well, COVID has caused us all to take different directions, hasn't it?
It sure has, Mike.
You know, I've never seen anything in my entire life that's been so impacting and just really game-changing is what this one has been. But we continue to pray for an end to all of the contagion aspect of it. And I know several people who are really fighting through the sickness. And I'm grateful for those that have made it through. But it is something that's had a big impact on businesses. And, you know, one of the things I do want to talk about a little bit later on with you is even how you've seen the Gainesville area businesses really be impacted and affected. But before we talk about all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself, Jill. How did you come to know the Lord? And where did you grow up? And what was home for you?
You know, it's interesting that you ask because, you know, I so much live for today and I so much live with the future in mind that sometimes I forget about where I came from. And the reality is for the first 28 years of my life, I did not know the Lord. I grew up Jewish, but we did not go to church. My parents divorced when I was 5. So I grew up with a single mom in a small, modest home, and she took very good care of us. But not being a Christian, I was actually exposed to a lot of things that maybe many of us weren't. So I would have to say the first 28 years of my life were quite dysfunctional. So I am thankful that at 28 years of age, I was introduced to Jesus. I actually was at a conference. I was part of Amway many, many years ago, and I went to a seminar, and somebody had invited me to go to church on Sunday. They had a church service. And I remember telling the woman at the time, a friend of mine named Grace, and I said, well, you know, Jewish people don't go to church. And she's actually Jewish, but she came to know the Lord. And she said, well, why don't you just get the full experience and attend? And I thought, okay, why not? And what I didn't know was when I sat there and I heard about this Jesus that I didn't know, and I had somebody on the stage was singing El Shaddai, so they're singing in Hebrew, and I didn't know Hebrew, even though I was Jewish, but God used that to tug at my heart, and I remembered breaking out in tears and not understanding and literally running when it was over because I didn't know what else to do. You know, I didn't understand this altar call, and then through her husband who shared a book with me, no wonder they call him the Savior. God used that book in a mighty way. And through watching their lives, it began my journey to know Jesus at 28 years of age.
That is an amazing story. I've known you all this time, but did not realize that you were raised Jewish.
Yes. And Mike, I got to share this one thing because I don't get to share this often because it was so supernatural. And had I realized it at the time, I would have written this down. But I remembered somewhere in this journey before I actually gave my heart to the Lord, someone had given me a Bible, and I had never read the Bible in my life. And one day I just heard the word Isaiah, and I am like, who is Isaiah? What is Isaiah? I didn't know anything about Isaiah. And then I heard Isaiah 53, and I thought, I wonder if that's in the Bible. So I picked it up. And sure enough, it was in the Old Testament, and it was all about Jesus in the Old Testament. And then for 30 minutes straight, I had a conversation with God before I was ever a Christian, and literally heard scripture after scripture. And he brought me Old Testament and New Testament, from Isaiah to Romans to John to Jeremiah, and literally showed me Old Testament and New Testament who Jesus was. So that day it made it very real.
Oh my goodness, what a story. And that's something you need to share more often than what you've been doing. That's tremendous. And to think about the fact that you weren't a believer at that point and yet had that kind of encounter where you feel like it's almost like you're carrying on a conversation with the Lord and getting direct impressions in your heart about chapters and verses in the Bible that you really knew nothing about, and then you find out they're messianic revelations of Christ in the Old Testament.
It was pretty amazing. I mean, I should tell it more often, and I'm going to be praying for more opportunities to do so.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you've done so with us here today, because again, I've known you all these years, had no idea about that beginning. And, you know, that really does bring up something that I think is worth highlighting, is that what you said earlier, we tend to get our eyes and our focus on what we're doing today and what our schedule is like for the coming week. And we can forget where we've come from. And these are days that I believe really it is important for us to look back. These are troubling times, and we need to know for sure that we remember just how faithful our God has been to us. And unless we are mindful of that, the scripture talks about not forgetting the rock from which you were hewn. You know, we've been kind of cut out, if you will, of stone in that sense, and he's made us who we are today, and we're not to forget, though, those early days. And I think that's wonderful for you to share this story, because there could be people just like you were at that moment who maybe they're not believers, and maybe they've just found this radio station right now by accident, and they were spinning the dial, and your words caught them because you were at a point in time in your life where you needed a Savior, even though you didn't know you needed it as badly as you did. But God was so gracious, and his mercies, the Bible says, Jill, are new every morning. And boy, were they new for you, and you got the full advantage of that grace that day, didn't you?
Absolutely. And even as I'm thinking back then, I think just for anybody who may be listening and maybe they're not a believer, I do believe God meets us where we are at when we're looking. Sometimes we don't even know that we're looking, but he knows our heart, and he knows that what we're really searching for is him. Because even before I got saved, I actually was taking a lot of New Age classes, was very involved in the New Age movement, not knowing that it was really a spiritual journey. So mm-hmm. I was searching, and God took that searching and led me to him, the one true God, because I was looking at a false God, and in his mercy, he redirected me, and I'm very grateful.
Well, that is a great story. And somewhere in here, you met Pete, and you guys, were you a believer by the time you had met him?
No, I wasn't. I actually bought Pete at a bachelor auction. I don't know if you know that or not.
Wait a minute, you did what? You bought Pete? There's got to be a great story there.
I was working at Cox Media at the time, and I was helping Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and they basically were having a bachelor auction to raise some funds. And so I was helping, and part of what I did was interview the men. We had to make sure that they weren't serial killers and they were okay. And at the time, I thought I had just gotten out of a 5-year relationship, and I wasn't really looking to be serious with anybody. But I thought, why don't I ask my clients for some money, and maybe I'll bid on one of these bachelors. So I actually raised money through my clients, and Pete ended up being the person that I bid on, and never dated anybody since then. We got married. I mean, it took 5 years, but we got married about 5 years later.
Oh my gosh. This is the second great story. Now you've broke out on me here today. Had no idea about that. I've known Jill and Pete probably since about 2013, never heard these stories. You've got to come on my show more often. We may learn a whole lot more.
I have unlimited stories for sure. Some good and some not so good, but they're definitely stories.
Well, we now know that Pete was bought on the auction block by Jill, and that's how they got married. That's awesome. Now, you guys have been in Gainesville. Tell us how you ended up in Gainesville.
I actually came to University of Florida when I was 17 years old, and I graduated in broadcast management. Never thought I would stay, but my first job was with Cox Media. And, well, actually, that's not true. My first job was with, at the time, it was called WBST. It was Channel 51 out of Ocala.
Mm-hmm.
Actually got fired after a few months, very unexpectedly, for no reason. But it ended up being one of the best things that happened to me, and it led me to a 12-year career at Cox Media. And so I've been here ever since.
That is amazing that you tell me that getting fired was the best thing that could have ever happened to you. That's that's funny how God does that. He moves us and he places us where he wants us, and it's not always what we think would happen, but that's great. So you're one of those people that came to Gainesville to go to school and ended up staying there.
Yes.
Well, in a moment, we're going to be back with her and talking with Jill Nash today about some really exciting things that are coming up in the history of LeaderCast and where it's going from here. All of that's ahead. This is Afternoons with Mike. Don't you dare go away. This is The Shepherd. Back on the phone here with Jill Nash from Gainesville. Jill has her company, Advantage Media Promotions, and you know, you've been doing this work ever since college. You graduated with a degree in broadcasting, ended up working for Cox up there for a long time, and then you struck out, was it from there you struck out on your own with your own company? Or was it then that you took a break for raising a family? I think I remember one of those being accurate.
Yes, I actually took a break to raise my family. It was in my 12th year when I was praying. I felt like God had said to me that you're going to be getting ready to leave Cox Media. You're going to leave when you're on top and don't look back. And I wasn't pregnant at the time, so I didn't know what that meant. But sure enough, I got pregnant and I knew that's exactly what God meant. So I came home to be with my kids. I have three children. And I stayed with them at home until my youngest was four. And I always used to keep track of all my business ideas. I always had ideas. I always had ideas for business, how I wanted to impact our community. So I was working on that, you know, when I had breaks. And then when my son turned four, I started my agency part-time. And then eventually everything grew into full-time.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I've appreciated about you, Jill, is that you do have a high and great love for children. Your own children were trained. I've known Jennifer especially. I've got to work with her on the LeaderCast stuff that we've done together and also some other initiatives that you've done up there in Gainesville. And she's such a respectful young lady, loves the Lord, and is so just so outgoing in her personality, and has what appears to be such a wonderful relationship with you. And I know that no parent is ever able to do it perfectly in every way, but I tell you, when I see parents like you with children that are loving and love the Lord, I think it needs to be highlighted, and it needs to just be something that we give God glory for. Congratulations on all of that. You and Pete have done a marvelous job.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think you said we'll talk a little bit about that later. Definitely one of my highlights and most important to me. I mean, impacting your children means it's going to go on for legacies to come. And I'm very grateful that God has answered a lot of my prayers, because as you said, no parent does it perfectly. So I really believe in God's grace. I know that he hears my heart, and I think I'm just thankful we don't have to be perfect to have our kids follow the Lord.
Oh, all of us would be in the same boat on that one. Grateful that he fills in those mistakes we make as parents, and he does. He loves us, and he's given you such a marvelous role there as a parent, and grateful for the job that you've done, Jill. You know, we talked about this LeaderCast thing, and even your heart, as you mentioned, when you were kind of with your own kids when they were younger, you kept track of your ideas and wrote them down so that one day when you're ready, they could be there. Let's talk about how you got involved in this thing called LeaderCast. What was the history of that?
Well, it's interesting because really the thought of it, even though I had never heard of LeaderCast at the time, was really probably around the time my son was four, because one of those ideas that I wrote down was that I wanted to bring Dr. Phil to Gainesville to be a catalyst to help change our community. He wasn't quite as sensational at the time. He actually, one of his shows he had was called Anywhere USA, and he went into a town called Elgin, Texas, and his whole goal was to follow that community for a year and to help marriages and to help parents and to help people lose weight, and he was trying to make a real big difference in that community and show that it could be an example anywhere. So that's a long story, but the short end of it is I followed that vision to bring him in for 2 years. It actually ended up introducing me to Alan Toppy, who was a life coach that I brought in for some leadership training. And I think what happened is it was never really about Dr. Phil. It was to give me a visual of how we could transform a community. Because what he did, it never really happened, but it gave me a picture that I go back to this day, so that when I look at my time with doing some leadership seminars, even to this day, it's I'll think about the picture of what our community can look like. So fast forward to somebody, a friend of mine called me up and said she had heard of a Chick-fil-A LeaderCast and she thought that I should host it in our community. And I had done some events with Alan Toppy for a few years. They were great, life-changing, but they weren't profitable. And as you know, you can't continue a business if it's not profitable. So I was going to put my events on a shelf for a while. Well, after three times of being asked to host this event, I thought, well, maybe I should check into it. And I love the names. They were bringing in names of people like Tim Tebow, you know, Urban Meyer, Andy Stanley, John Maxwell, you know, names that I couldn't afford to bring in. And they were hosting it in Atlanta. And it was a live simulcast that was posted around the world. Mm-hmm. And I thought, maybe I should try. I love the names. I love Chick-fil-A. So our first year, we were hoping to have 50 people, and we ended up having 140 people. And then the second year, we quickly grew to 500. Oh, and then we ended up hosting LeaderCast. Yeah, it was crazy. Right?
Yeah, that's like three times. You tripled it.
It was unexpected.
You know,
we stayed there, as you know. Go ahead.
No, I started to say, that is such an amazing growth. And it's certainly not expected to triple your first year attendance.
No, we didn't. I remember that second year so clearly, too, because we didn't have a big enough team to help. And many of us only got like an hour and a half to 3 hours of sleep. I remembered I was tempted. You remember Craig Wilburn, and I was tempted to say, hey, Craig, I'm not coming. You're just going to have to run the show.
Now, has Craig been with you then ever since the very beginning?
Craig has been with me every year. There was one year he couldn't come, but he showed up the morning and he had to drive out of town. But he's been with us all these years. And I always laugh because whenever people ask him why he got involved, he's like, because Jill told me. So I appreciate his faithfulness to the vision. But the reality is he has the same vision to impact our community. So, you know, and as you know, it's been a great event for our community, but you know, we've had to pivot, you know, due to COVID-19. And we actually had planned on creating our own local event that would go national anyway, but we didn't plan on doing that till next year. But then due to COVID and some other obstacles that we had to overcome, we chose to do it this year.
You know, when you go back and you think about the beginnings of the what's called the Chick-fil-A LeaderCast back in the very beginning, but they were doing that then, long before the idea or the term Zoom meetings, meetings happening virtually. It was kind of a simulcast, like you said, where an event is happening literally in some city, but then broadcast at a point in time where it was so novel and so new to so many people that you could go to another venue, let's say miles away, or in even on the other side of the country and meet with lots of people. And that's exactly what that was doing in the very beginning. And it was like what now? A lot of churches who have a remote location where their pastor's preaching, but they meet in other locations, other campuses. That's been going on for a long time. And now, you know, that has become commonplace. So it's not new. It's not quite as novel as it was in the beginning. But now you're talking about, because of the coronavirus, having to reinvent that wheel again and go virtual from the beginning. So what is that going to look like this year?
You know, it's interesting when you say how, yeah, that's not new, because you're right. Even though we were hosting an event, it was still a live event that we created very much like our own. So yes, creating a completely virtual event is different, but you know, it's interesting because we're just like everybody else. I wish COVID never existed, and I hate what it's done to affect so many people who have been sick, or people that have you know, lost family members or friends, or businesses that are going under, and all of that is terrible. But you know, one of the things that I try to do is saying, okay, how can we rise above our circumstances? How can we use this time wisely so we can move forward? Because you know, we're not going to stay where we're at, and we know that things are going to get better. So during this time, when I was at home and I knew I couldn't do an event the way I was used to, I came across a man named Pete Vargas. And Pete was hosting an event online. He was actually calling it the Rise Up Challenge. He created a 23-day challenge that was from 1 to 2:30 p.m. every single day for 23 days. And he was bringing on speakers like John Maxwell, Tony Robbins, and again, people I couldn't afford to bring in, but he had those connections. And he was basically taking a chance. And he was supposed to have a live event in Orlando, and he thought, well, I'll do this for free. And then what he did is he decided to give it for free, but package those 23 days so that if you missed it, you could get that. And he, during the challenge, he actually was able to get some of these speakers to contribute some of their material for free. So without going into all the details, the bottom line is this man showed how to have a virtual event, and he was able to raise $700,000 for charity for small businesses during COVID. And I was already planning a virtual event, and I actually had hosted one for free myself. I just didn't know how to turn it into raising money for charity. So this guy gave me a mental picture again, just like Dr. Phil did, of what I could accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
So after having my own virtual event that we did for free, we didn't have quite the impact he did. You know, he had 3,000 people attend, and his Facebook page was near 100,000, and he was actually written up in Forbes. So anyway, that gave me the picture. My event, I think we had maybe 4,000 views, and we had about 50 shares and 2,000 engagements. So, but I thought to myself, okay, I saw the impact I could have locally, and now I've seen with this guy how he went global overnight. I thought, I'm going to reach out to them and see what I can learn. So the bottom line is I now pivoted, and I have my event called Elevate, which is on September 17th. And Pete Vargas actually agreed to be one of our speakers at my event. And that never would have happened if I wasn't learning during COVID. So good things can happen.
Good things can happen. When you talk about an event now in September on the 17th, that will be a virtual event. Now, there are some events that, like LeaderCast, all the participants are in one location, and the event, if you will, goes on from there. Is this event going to be like that, or will it be all of your participants that are speakers are also in remote locations?
For the most part, actually, it'll probably be about half and half. So we have four local speakers that we hope to be with us locally in one location, along with some of our sponsors and our VIPs. But for the most part, our other speakers will be in remote locations, and then everybody watching will get a Zoom link where they can connect and watch for that day.
Okay.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah, so basically those other guest speakers, it's not like tied into a contiguous meeting then? That can be on demand at that point?
Well, no, it will be a continuous meeting. It'll actually be similar to LeaderCast from the standpoint we'll have 8 to 9 speakers, and each of them will speak about 20 to 30 minutes, although Pete Vargas will be speaking for a full hour. And then we'll actually have breakout sessions that day that are related. Like, one of the things that I also want to share publicly is we want to talk a lot about vision, clarity, and focus, because we know that it's very easy to lose sight of your vision when difficult times happen. So we want to help people remind them of their vision at work and their vision at home. And then we actually want to lead them in creating a vision board that they can take with them when they leave, so that they can be reminded of what they want to put into action and help them to rise above their circumstances.
Now, we know that the original vision for LeaderCast was really an appeal to the participants wherever they are, whether they be business owners or employees of businesses, to really live the life that the Lord would have us to live and be leaders in the community, take responsibility, all of that. What would be, would that be the mirrored purpose for Elevate, would you say, or do you have other goals and ideals in mind?
You know, so it's interesting because I think you might know this, Mike, but one of the things that I learned with LeaderCast, Keith Wilmot, who is the former CEO of LeaderCast, he's actually one of our speakers too, and he was the one that invited me to go to headquarters in Atlanta, and they ended up hiring me for a 2-year period to help other host sites around the world. So I was very close to their mission, which was what you said, leaders worth following. You know, that was always mm-hmm. what they said. But here's what I found and where I think the vision differs a little bit from what I would have. When they said leaders worth following, it was basically maybe in a specific field. They might find one leader that he was worth following in a specific area of business, or somebody else in a specific area of their family. And there, to be honest, there were a few people that I probably wouldn't have had on my own stage. Now, you know, they did the best that they could, but after getting to know them a little bit, the vision was a little bit different. So to me, when I'm inviting people to be on my stage, understanding that nobody's perfect and we all have shortcomings, I really look to find those people that were leaders worth following, both in business and at home. I'm trying to find people that are literally the total package. And the other thing that I think is a little different is I want to be able to lead people to resources that they can use after the event and to lead them to that next step. So, for example, if Pete Vargas is teaching that one way that you can do marketing is by being on other people's stages, when you can build a relationship with somebody, you know, on a podcast or on a live stage, you know, a lot of times when people get to know you, they want to do business with you. So this is something he excels in. So I know when he's on my stage, he's going to give a ton of content away for free, but then he is also going to say, if you want to dive deeper and you want me to help you to create a solid income, I already have a system created so I can help you. So if somebody's interested in that, we're going to plug them in. Somebody like Greg Bold, who's a coach and trainer with the Toppy Group, well, I know with him that there may be some businesses that I can send him to afterwards that says, you know what, this event was great, but I have a team of 100 people. I can't bring all 100 people to the event. We have our own personal challenges, and I need somebody to come off-site to help us as a business. I now can take Greg and plug him in there. So I'm always looking to connect our speakers to, whether it's a church, whether it's a business, an individual. I always want to see what resources can I bring to help people connect for their next step.
Mm-hmm. That's a very exciting thing. Now, what will be the cost be for participation in this?
The beginning cost, it's $99 for a ticket, but right now we actually have a code, and we can make one up for you. I don't have one here because I wasn't thinking about it when we were talking, but we are offering $30 off per ticket through the end of this month. We realize that with COVID happening, that $99 is a pretty generalized ticket for most people. But we're trying to make it as affordable as we can. So for $69, they can come and listen to 8 or 9 speakers throughout that day, mm-hmm. and then we'll probably make it available in case they miss any, you know, we'll make it available for them for a couple weeks after as well.
Okay. And what is the website for people to find out all that information?
It is elevate-lead.com.
Elevate-lead.com. And I got to know, I got to find out, what was the reason for choosing the name Elevate?
But I am transitioning my business from Advantage Media Promotions to Elevate Leadership and Marketing.
Uh-huh.
And I think the reason I chose that name is because in everything I do, I want to elevate people to that next level. You know, if I'm talking to somebody, I'm always talking to them, how can we help you grow? You know, how can you grow as a person? How can you grow in your business? And I'm always looking to, you know, for our speakers, you know, how do we, again, it's maybe about growth. It's maybe about elevating you to a new position, or it's about helping you to become that best version of yourself. So I don't know if that's the exact description of Elevate, but
that's
that was
a beautiful,
the name we came up with.
That's a great answer. Jill Nash is my guest today, and in a moment we're going to be hearing how Jill is responding with her own business and what her advice is to other small businesses in a time like this. The COVID days, unparalleled for most small businesses. By God's grace, we have some encouraging aspects that we can read about and look and think and pray for an end to all of this. But these are times that we're still weathering the storm, so to speak. So hang on, we'll be right back with Jill coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd. On the line with Jill Nash. Jill is with Advantage Media Promotions in Gainesville, Florida, and for years has been the leader of the very popular LeaderCast event. You know, it's hard to believe that event is only a one-time-a-year event, because so many people that I know of, people like Brandon West, who takes his entire team over there. Brandon is up in Gainesville and leads a big business, kind of like a marketing and branding business, and he takes his team there. He's one example of many who look forward to it, and yet it's had a big impact, much more than what you would think for a once-a-year event. But your heart behind all of this, Jill, is you've never really left that goal for the Lord and being used of the Lord. And I go back to that first segment when we were talking about the ideas that God would give you when you had taken time away from business to raise your family. I think you had your priorities in order, and God was blessing you even then with ideas that would be seeded in you and then come to fruition, like times like now, where people are really needing encouragement. And if we talked about the COVID thing, if there's one thing that people lack and are in short supply right now, and that is encouragement. People are looking for assurance in both their personal lives, in their business lives. And you know, you're using all of these things, it sounds to me like you're using them to really be a vehicle to help people grab a hold of the greatest form, the greatest source of encouragement that there is in the entire world.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Mike, because, you know, we were talking a little bit on the break. One of the things I can share with you is, I don't know how many years ago it was. It's, if I had to guess, it had to be at least 6-7 years ago. I was walking my neighborhood, and I felt the Lord had said to me that what I was doing with LeaderCast would be small potatoes compared to what I would be doing in the future, and that LeaderCast was my training ground. So, you know, obviously 9 years later, and we're talking about Elevate, but even that is not the end goal, because what you're saying, bringing people hope and encouragement, is probably my greatest mission. I'll share a story with you. I'm not really good on time, but one year when we were at LeaderCast, I ran into one of my business friends, and he had been a part of our event for probably 6-7 years at the time. And he was really frazzled. And I was like, well, I know one of his children is getting married, and I figured that was probably it. And then 2 weeks afterwards, I found out that he committed suicide.
Oh.
And I was horrified. I was like, I consider myself discerning. I didn't see anything. I didn't know. Well, the year previous to that, we had one of our sponsors, and it was again a few weeks after LeaderCast, and his daughter committed suicide. And, you know, then I had a neighbor, like around Thanksgiving, her husband committed suicide. So all of these things year after year, you know, I would be thinking to myself, Lord, how can we reach these people before they are ever that desperate? You know, you have some of these people that are very successful, but success in business doesn't mean we're successful at home, and we really don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So now combine that with all the crazy things happening in our world and the headlines that we see every day. And once again, I went to the Lord and I'm like, how can I help? Well, after 6 years, we are finally going to be able to announce at Elevate our new nonprofit, which is called Looking for Answers. And this nonprofit is going to be designed to answer some of life's biggest questions and to place hope in the hands of the hurting. Mm. And we are going to have all kinds of video testimonials and resources on relationships like family, you know, parenting, marriage, loneliness, and issues like depression or anger, you know, anxiety and stress, a lot of these things that everybody is experiencing. And our hope is to lead people, if they're not in a local church, to the local church, or if they're not ready for church, maybe to a connect group that can help them build relationships, or to a book, or to a coach, or to a counselor. But everything about this website is going to lead people to hopefully what is going to be their next step.
Mm-hmm. Helping people find the way, that's what you've done for a long time on that, Jill. We had mentioned also in an earlier segment about your kids. I'd love to, if you could for a moment, speak to parents who right now may have teenagers in their home. When you look back at raising your kids, what do you think is the most important thing that you did on a regular basis that you would say when you look back at how they've turned out and where they are today, and you would look back and you would say, I am so glad I did that. What would that answer be?
You know, I think of three things. And the first thing would be that I prayed and depended on God for everything. Because, again, when you grow up for 28 years of your life and you have a lot of dysfunction, you know how much you need to rely on the Lord. And I remembered a friend of mine who, she had five kids that were all loving Jesus. And I remember she said, I will never touch his glory. She said, she prayed all the time. So I knew that God would fill in where I lacked. Because to be honest, I knew of a lot of parents who I felt were doing it, in my mind, pretty perfectly. They were reading all the books and they followed through on it. I read a lot of books, but didn't follow through on a lot of it. So I prayed a lot. That was number one. The second thing is my children know they are loved unconditionally. I love them for who they are. My husband loves them for who they are, and not because of what they do. You know, I have, you know, Jennifer, but one of my daughters, Julie, she just moved to Tampa this week and she's working with a church. And, you know, I was writing her a note and I was thinking of all the things that she's doing, you know, for God and for Jesus. And I thought, you know, I never want my kids to think I love them because of their accomplishments. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was reminding her, you know, how much I loved and valued her just as a person. And then I would say the third thing is don't try to do things perfectly, or don't think, oh, if I read all the books and I do all these things right, then my children will turn out good. I remembered having a conversation with my pastor's wife, Pastor Suzanne, and one of the best pieces of advice she gave me was that, because she said often she would pray and say to the Lord, why are some people, they seem to do everything right, and yet their children aren't following you, like they did it right. And she said what she felt like God spoke to her is because their focus wasn't on me. Their focus was on their work. Their focus is on what they can do. So I always remember that and remember that it is always His grace.
Boy, that's great advice. And, you know, I know people as well, friends that I love dearly, who did all that they could do. And you're right. It's not a guaranteed thing, but when we can see parents leading their kids and we see the kids turning out, you know, we do know that the parents' role is critical. The parents' role is really that of being a leader, that of being a guide. And we're grateful for the impact that you and Pete have had on your children. And there, it's, you know, it's worthy to commend. It's worthy to follow. So that's why I wanted you to share that. Thank you for those three bits of information. Those are great bits of advice for any parent to put forward. You know, we're looking now. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say one more thing. Just because of the parents, you know, that, you know, maybe they have prayed and done all those things, I just want to let them know it's never too late, because the word doesn't come back void. And, you know, again, and just one more thing, you know, none of us as parents do things right. And I think if parents realize that they did do anything wrong, saying I'm sorry goes a long way as well. I tell my kids I'm sorry a lot. You know, so sometimes when I see things in their life that I'll be like, they're probably dealing with that because I handled things wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess just telling parents that maybe they made mistakes along the way, it's never too late to say I'm sorry. And then also trusting the Lord that the word of God doesn't return void.
That's great. You know, Cindy and I would often come to points with our kids and we would look at them and say, hey, this is the first time we've had to deal with this as parents. It's our first time, so please know that we're doing the best that we can do. And parents, hey, we can be honest like that with our kids, and our kids can see that. I think even if they might not like the directions that parents would give, when you have that kind of relationship that is including that kind of honesty, I think that goes a long way. So grateful for the grace of God, though, that he gives us. Boy, there's not a tougher job in the entire world than that of being parent. But I've said this time and time again. Of all the job descriptions that I've had in my life, my favorite has been that of being dad. And I mean that. It's nothing like it. Oh, my goodness. Let's turn now to business for just a second in our remaining bit of time that we have with you here. When you look back now over this last several months, Jill, what would you say has been the biggest lesson that you've learned in this COVID era?
The biggest lesson to learn is to always make time to invest in yourself so you can be prepared for the unexpected.
Mm.
So it doesn't catch you off guard. It's you know, when I think back, you know, just like everybody else, you know, the first few weeks, you almost feel like you're in survival mode. And I really don't know how you can prepare for a time like that. But the word teaches us to be prepared in and out of season. So I know over the years, you know, here I bring LeaderCast, you know, every year and now Elevate. But did I read as many books or read the Bible as often as I could have or should have and done as much for myself? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, having that period of time, you know, where I literally took 3 or 4 weeks to go online and receive training for my business, was great. I mean, it really helped prepare me for that next season. And I think that's one of the things that I came away with is that I can't just, you know, host leadership seminars, but we always have to be growing. And if we continue to grow, then whatever, when life comes our way, we'll be prepared for it.
Good advice again from Jill Nash. Jill's part of the Rock Church up in Gainesville. I know your pastor's going through some real difficult times right now. Can you share anything about how he's coming along with his treatment?
Yes, I'm thankful that he has, you know, been sharing all of this with us. He is coming along. His faith is steady. His faith is strong, but he is totally reliant on the prayers of other people and on his family. He's in the hospital now for the next 30 days, recovering. He just had a bone marrow transplant. So I know like the last day or two has been good. The first 3 days were rough and they said to expect some rough days, but he's able to exercise some and he has a lot of support, and we are believing that God is going to bring him through and for complete victory. And so for those of you who pray, we ask that you would keep Pastor George Brantley in your prayers.
We are praying for George regularly and so grateful for him and the vision of not only you, but we have many friends up in Gainesville that are a part of that church and love them dearly. And so we are touched by that. I think anytime we have news of a pastor that is going through that kind of physical challenge, it certainly is concerning. And we're praying and asking God to not only encourage their hearts, but also the hearts of the congregation, because everyone feels it. I know you do. And even though we are at arm's length from away and living down here, I've met George before on a number of occasions and really love the guy and praying that God would just heal him completely. And please know that. And by the way, please share our greetings to our friends that are up there, like Mark Meek and the rest of the crew up at there. I love your worship pastor, Jamie Chung Yu, is a great friend, and he's been on this program before. What a great guy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And it's funny when you mentioned Brandon earlier and we talked about Craig, because they're going to actually be on my podcast. We're going to record tomorrow, and then they're going to be on it within the next week or two. So I will definitely let them all know you said hello.
Yes, indeed. People that I love dearly and people that are on fire for God and making a difference. And that's really what this whole thing that we've been talking about today is all about. It's growing. It's taking the reins of leadership in our community, in our business, certainly in our families, and being the people of God that he wants us to be, representing him. And I like that phrase that you used earlier that's been used for years with LeaderCast, being a leader that others would want to follow. That's the call that we all have, Jill, and you've done a lot, and we are so grateful. Give us the website again for how people can find out more information and sign up for the Elevate virtual conference that's coming up.
That would be Elevate-lead.com. If anybody wants to email me for that code, or I can give it to you afterwards, they can also email me at hello@elevate-lead.com, because they will have the next couple of weeks to save $30 per ticket.
Jill, thank you so much. Jill Nash, my guest today on Afternoons with Mike, really appreciate your being here and taking this time and sharing the story. I, again, learned a lot I did not know about your background, and so grateful for the grace of God in your life.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for having me. It was so good talking with you.
I've enjoyed it, and say hello to Pete and Jennifer and our other friends up there as well.
I will, and please make sure you say hi to your family as well.
Thank you. Will do. That's all my time for today. I'll be back next time right here on Afternoons with Mike on The Shepherd.